Hello and welcome. This is Donnie Jackson, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Ken Raven, Omdia's Senior Principal Analyst for Public Safety and Critical Communications. Ken, thanks for speaking with me.
Hey, Donnie, it's my pleasure. It's great to join you today.
So, Ken, I know you've been working tirelessly on a report. Can you tell us a little about what it covers and how you created it?
Yeah, sure. This is the Critical Communications Broadband Report for 2020. It takes a deep dive into the market changes that impact public safety, mission-critical industries, industry operations such as in mining, oil and gas. And we look at a variety of vectors here. We look at the infrastructure, devices, as well as some of the services. And the report, it's an interesting report because it builds on the research we do in the land mobile radio market, where we have remarkable input from suppliers of push-to-talk devices that gives us a very accurate gauge of the size of mission-critical communications using traditional radio techniques like TETRA, DMR, and Project 25. This helps us size what is going to be the market on the broadband side with mission-critical LTE, mission-critical push-to-talk, push-to-talk over cellular using proprietary techniques. And in addition, we track the evolution of private networks being built on a bespoke basis for organizations. And we can draw from our knowledge of those builds what kind of impact that has on devices, device growth, service growth in that sector. So in this report, we pull that together and come up with a forecast covering the years 2020 to 2025.
Okay. Well, you mentioned broadband. You know, there seems to be a growing momentum for European governments to leverage mobile network operators. Does your report talk about this at all?
It does. I mean, a big takeaway is the increasing momentum in Europe to establish government-operated networks for critical communications using LTE. However, whereas several years ago, probably 2015 or so, we believed that there would be a larger number of dedicated networks built with LTE, but in that paradigm of a TETRA network or a P25 network where the government would build the network. And this is not panned out. Instead, what we're seeing across Europe is the leveraging of the American model with FirstNet, where there's a turn to partnerships with large mobile network operators, the MNOs, that have geographically scaled deployments for LTE. And with the 3GPP enhancements for priority, preemption, quality of service, are great partners for establishing mission-critical networks across a nation. And so we're seeing countries such as obviously in England with the advancing emergency services network project, as well as more recently in Finland with Verve 2, tapping Elisa in Finland as one of the national mobile carriers, and moving activity across the region, including Switzerland, Norway, the Netherlands. It's quite a list, and it continues to grow.
Okay. Well, you talked about the network side there, but I'm seeing a lot of different things on the device front. Is your report going into some of that?
For sure. I mean, the forecast includes the device activity that we're seeing, and we tracked some remarkable CAGR growth on the device front. So, as an example, three types of devices that I find very, very interesting. One is a hybrid land mobile radio and LTE device that would be similar to what the Airbus company is selling with the Tablet, Motorola, APX Next, L3 Harris with their XL portfolio, Hytera, some really compelling designs that bring together the best of LTE and the best of a legacy architecture. And the CAGR in that segment is 26% when we look at it between 2020 and 2025. Now, the market's still kind of small. And even by 2025, we believe it'll only be about 150,000 units. 150,000 units out there. But from 2025 out, my sense is this is going to grow dramatically. In addition, we have ruggedized smartphones. So these are the Samsung XCover Field Pro, Sonim units, Kyocera, Motorola. These are companies with some great ruggedized smartphones, and that market is pretty substantial as well. Slightly less ambitious CAGR, but it will take them to about a footprint of installed base of about 3.4 million. And then finally, I think it's important to talk about mobile routers. We've had an acquisition recently with Ericsson picking up Cradlepoint. There are other routers out there besides Cradlepoint. So Sierra Wireless with a fantastic MG90, as well as Goodmill up in Finland, Nokia with a mobile router, Cisco. And, you know, that market's continuing because as you have LTE elements within a vehicle, you start to need a hub, and these wireless routers provide remarkable connectivity for a cluster of IoT type devices in a vehicle. And we see that growing to about 3 billion, going forward.
Okay. Acronym alert, remind people what CAGR means.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Compounded annual growth rate.
All right. Very cool. So another thing that's constantly people are talking about throughout the telecommunications industry is 5G. And the hype is through the roof at times. And there's a lot of different talks about what it can do. And frankly, increasingly more talks about what it can't do. And there's so many different flavors. What impact do you actually see from 5G for the critical communication space?
Well, undoubtedly, 5G will have a large impact on mission critical communications. It's, you know, due to the, you know, the objectives that were behind the evolution of the 5G technology. But first and foremost, what 5G brings to mission critical communications are much broader highways. We get this with higher spectrum transmission, where the spectrum is not so crowded. So the channels can be quite large and result in fairly massive broadband footprint. But there's a suite of capabilities that will be coming in the future, and they revolve around ultra reliable and low latency networking. Probably more useful in a factory environment than, say, a public safety application, which is more of a geographically dispersed type of activity and a little challenging to get that the benefits of URLLC. But for sure, 5G will bring quite a bit in terms of added capacity, but you have to balance it because using those high spectrum bands to get capacity means very limited radio propagation, which then demands very dense networks with small cells. And for public safety, that can be a problem because operations are not guaranteed to be in a city center. They may be out in the field where, you know, that spectrum is just not available. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to have more of an impact for the command vehicles where you can have a vehicle router that's connected over 5G to the 5G network for good high volume, good throughput. Personal devices, yeah, probably not so much.
Okay. Well, and it does matter whether we're talking about low band 5G, which frankly doesn't seem to be that much different than 4G, versus mid band. And then certainly to your point, the really high millimeter wave stuff that has very little propagation.
Yeah. And it's important to remember that 5G is an evolution of the same technology that brought us 4G. So when we talk about low band 5G, if you don't have a bigger highway, you don't get better performance. Now, there are some optimizations that we get in 5G new radio that you don't have in LTE. And so, you know, there'll be advantages eventually to get all of the devices into a 5G footprint. But I think that's going to be many years from now.
Yeah, very, very good point. Very good point. And I've heard that same thing coming from the folks, certainly at AT&T and FirstNet, in regard to their evolution. So Cannon, any final thoughts here?
Absolutely. I believe 2021 is going to be a transformational year. And I believe this will be a result of the UK ESN project gaining steam and moving from early adopters to actual live deployments. I believe that we're going to see over the next year a launch of additional hybrid LTE LMR devices that are going to make that blended operation even more compelling for governments. And then finally, next generation 911, next generation 112 is also gathering speed and brings some interesting capabilities for linking, bridging that calling party all the way to the responders that are going to deal with the emergency in a coherent architecture that takes IP-based networking end-to-end. In addition, the next comment I would make is that I think what we're seeing is that push-to-talk over cellular has established its value. We have silos of proprietary implementations today, but I believe in 2021, we're going to see mission-critical push-to-talk starting to flower and appear in more devices, in more control room interfaces, in more markets. And then finally, I would, just to go back on the 5G discussion, I think it's important that industry and government not wait for 5G. Remember, the LTE networks that are out there are very capable and in many cases actually have fairly generous spectrum allocations. And when you combine that with quality of service, priority and preemption, they provide a very compelling service option. Don't wait for 5G to start making these shifts.
Okay. Well, great points as always, Ken. How can people check out this report? Because there's a lot of really cool information here.
I would recommend the Omdia website and navigate to the critical communications. I believe we should have a link in the posting that comes along with this video.
You bet. All right. Well, Ken, thanks a bunch for joining me, and congratulations on getting this report done.
Yeah, thank you. It was a big effort.